Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good noon. Hi, my name is Ann McNeil, and I am thoroughly convinced that we are leaving our diamond mines in our own backyards as we travel around the world looking for larger diamond finds. Therefore, we are calling this podcast hashtag I Am Riviera Beach. Today, we are very excited, Dan Calloway and myself, to bring another episode. This week, we are highlighting Ms. Cynthia Beckton, former Riviera Beach councilwoman, to our show. Hyacinth Cynthia Beckton retired from the Palm Beach County School District May 2000 after 32 years of teaching. During these years, she was involved with the Teachers Association at the local, state, and national levels. Cynthia also served in various community education activities. Furthermore, Cynthia was elected to the Riviera Team 90. While council, she started a school community collaboration. This collaboration involved the city leaders, principals, various agencies, and the school district area administration. Cynthia has also served over 20 years at St. George's Center, Inc., first as program director with the youth and later as the executive director. She is currently on the board of directors for the center and is a volunteer. Cynthia is involved in several community organizations, trustee of the City of Riviera Beach General Employee Pension Board, to name a few. Cynthia has been able to extend her effectiveness in the community by working with people and organizations who are also involved in positive activities. She knows we cannot be all things to any given situation, but if we help each other, more services can be provided. And with that, Dan Calloway, turning the program over to you. And Cynthia, welcome to hashtag I Am Riviera Beach Podcast.
Welcome, Cynthia.
Thank you.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Wonderful. Anytime I'm in the midst of people like you who serves wonderfully well all these years, and I was by your side most of those years, I need to ask you a little about when you came to Palm Beach County.
Well, we were military, and interestingly enough, my father was in Puerto Rico, and my mother was with him. But my mother had decided that she really wanted to stop traveling. So her sister was living here in Riviera Beach, a sister that was very close to her. And so she liked the area, and she was going to relocate to this area. So I ended up leaving Montana and coming to Riviera Beach because of my mother being here with my Aunt Mary and her family. So that's how we made the connection. It was kind of in different areas, but it all ended up right here in Riviera Beach.
Well, that was wonderfully well, because it gave us to have you as one of our top servants. Let's start with the elected position first. Now,
okay.
What made you throw your name in the hat to run for councilperson of Riviera?
We were doing a lot of different things within the community, actually talking about different issues and things that we wanted to do, we being a number of different people to assist the city. And as we talked, we also talked about who would be running. And it was really a team effort. It wasn't I'm going to get out there and beat my chest and look good and all of that. It really was about the things that we wanted to accomplish. And so that's how I initially ran for office. and didn't know anything about politics or whatever. So it had to be a team effort. We ran, you know, definitely on the coattails of other persons that had been involved in the political scene with Riviera Beach, won the seat, and moved on to do some different things in the community that I think were very beneficial. And Dan, you know of a number of them because we worked on them together.
That is true. Well, one of the things that I remember, you were put in a very tough situation. Part of the city, half of the city, wanted the city to go under the sheriff department. And the other part said, no, we don't want to privatize our local police department. And main thing about it, your father, for whom I worked with over 20-some years and had all the respect in the world for him, he was over the correction. And because of Sheriff Willie wanted to take it over, and he sent me to talk to your father. And your father and I talked about it, but we wouldn't go to you. He didn't come to you to tell you what he wanted you to give that vote, because if your vote would have sent the police department in Riviera to the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office, I remember that vividly. That's how much respect your father had for his daughter, and I learned right at his elbow about that, because I didn't come to you as well as I knew you and to get that vote in there. But when they went public with it, it lost by 6 or 7 votes. And I still think that's the best thing. I think that all cities should have their own law enforcement department. Now, how did you feel about that? And did you think you made the right decision?
Yes, I feel very comfortable that I made the right decision in not agreeing to go with the sheriff's department. And my father was the type of person that we were raised. We were a family. There were six children and my mom and dad. And we had to actually have dinner at the dinner table if we wanted to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So there were a lot of lessons that were taught at the dinner table. But there were just some things that my father did not do. Now, my father never discussed that issue with me. I was an adult. I was on the city council. It was a situation where I know he felt comfortable that we had been raised in such a way that we would read and we would do the necessary research and we would form an opinion based on that research, not a knee-jerk reaction. So that was the thing. It wasn't just something that just came, you know, out of the air. We went into depth about pros and cons and how that would affect the community and what would be the best thing. And I really believe as the years have moved forward, it has proven to be the best solution for Riviera Beach. So, yes, I'm very comfortable with that decision.
Well, I thought, and I was, of course, I was the sheriff troubleshooter, and I had to be in all the meetings about that. And, of course, Lorenzo Brooks was the chief in Riviera. He would have became just like a major in the sheriff department if we would have took over for Riviera, and we were comfortable with him. The thing, it was so political because it was all between Lorenzo Brooks being fired and bringing Frank Walker back. And the city was split down the middle between the two chiefs. But losing your own law enforcement, and it's like losing a part of your family. And you are today, most people don't know that and don't talk about that, is the reason why, because it was a 3-2 vote. And if you would have voted the other way, it would have been 3-2 to bring the sheriff in. So I need the public to know that. And the next thing, you went into education. Was that the number one love of your life as a career, to be a teacher?
Actually, Dan, my initial leaning was towards social work, and I came to Palm Beach County as a social worker, and I was very comfortable in that field, and I got into education in a backdoor way, because they started a program in Palm Beach County with learning disabilities, and it was just so interesting that I started in that field, and with that went into special education and stayed in it for my full education career. It was because special education I found to be just exceptionally fascinating, because there's just so many different aspects. So yes and no, but definitely education is important, because that's the foundation. That's in my mind. You get things settled in education, you have a foundation, your community moves forward.
Well, I think not because of my personal involvement with you all these years, and of course your mother was very close to me, but her sister was even close, because I used to eat at her restaurant at least two or three times, and not because half of the time she wouldn't allow me to pay for my breakfast, but the idea of the food was good.
And she was a wonderful cook.
I mean, I love going down there to your aunt eating that breakfast food. But let me say this about when you was working at Kennedy Middle School, well, it was junior high school then. I think that the climate of the kids was different. And I know you had Don Wilson, and everybody knows the relationship of Don Wilson and myself. I was 2 years ahead of him in school. We played high school baseball together, and he was an elected official, too. And we were all working together under certain things like the Youth Recreation and the Voters League. Explain to the public, when you were teaching at Kennedy, just use Kennedy, that's in the heart of Riviera. Everything was centered around that school, because Kennedy once was a high school. What's the difference that Kennedy, when you were working there, and what it is now?
I would really hope that it wouldn't take that much to put the same type of atmosphere in place. But there was definitely more of a family gathering. Not necessarily saying that there weren't those differences here and there, but I'm going to start with Mr. Durden and the attitude that he brought on the campus on a regular basis, and that was, and he said it in a phrase, and Dan, I know you've heard it, once a Viking, always a Viking.
That is true.
And that was Mr. Durden just saying, and if you forgot that, that's what you were supposed to be doing. Once a Viking, always a Viking. So that as you moved onto that campus, that was one of the things that you would be thinking of. You would be thinking of yourself as a Viking, and therefore there was a way you were supposed to conduct yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, it came through with Don and some of the things that you can remember, what phrases and things that Don would say. You know, I think about Rebecca Price as the guidance counselor, and the thing that Rebecca wouldn't mind doing, you know, if a child had some issues, she felt that she needed to connect that child with their family, wherever they were. You know, if they were at work or at home or wherever. Let me just take this. Let me take you to your parents so that maybe you can get it straightened out there. But there was that, you know, and you know about Alma Horn and how, focused she was, and Milton Perry, you know, there was a line at the beginning of the school site where if there was things happening in the community, you didn't bring that on that line into the campus. I don't want to, there's one thing happening here, but it's another thing when you cross the line coming on campus, you just don't bring it on campus. So there was a thing, there was that, there was an atmosphere. You know, I met a young lady in PNC the other day who, I'm there, and she said, I know you from someplace. And, you know, she started to call the roll. And I told Lee Hooks, I saw him the other day, and I said, you know, this, your student just still remembers you for what you did here and there. It's that type of atmosphere that existed. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how to bring that back, but that in a community, there's a culture, I guess would be the thing that I would say, that needs to happen so that children can feel that they are really, we want them to achieve. We it's important that they are successful, but we also hold them accountable for their behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and hopefully I'm not simplifying that too much
because they
have a lot of challenges as well, and I recognize that. But there's also some things that we need to revisit and put in place again.
Well, see, you hit on two or three things that is not happening today. And, of course, we adopted John F. Kennedy Middle School 4 years ago because I was tired of hearing about the hoodlumism, all this here noise and everything. And I said, the kids can't be that bad. So a group of us, we start volunteering, and every year we would take two trips to Miami, one 50 kids for the football game, the Dolphins game, and 25 to the Miami Heat game, and then on holidays we bring in enough pizza to feed everybody and the drinks right at the end of school, and the principals and everybody was working. What I picked up, and I know most of a lot of the teachers out there and know most of the families of all the kids, the PTA or the PTO, whatever you want to call one of those organizations, they didn't have hardly anybody to come to that. I don't know whether the babies having babies and the kids from young mothers are like that, but my mother was 18 when she had my oldest brother, and he didn't turn out that bad. And we were all born on S Avenue, too. The thing that I think that the togetherness, the respect of the people, whether they're from Stony Brook or the rental property right there on Blue Heron and S Avenue, it doesn't matter where you live. It's just the way you conduct yourself. You wasn't born in the slums. In the slum, you develop a lot of that stuff. You are one of the people who can elaborate and go out and write a book about things like that. And I appreciate what you were saying, because we need to go back and tell that story more and more to the schools. You owe a modicum of responsibility to the people that you're standing on the shoulders on right now. And be proud of not only being from Riviera, but be proud of going to John F. Kennedy. Because John F. Kennedy was the second high school that was predominant black. It started with Lincoln in 58, and in 64, they built John F. Kennedy. And all those alumni and everybody, you call Milton Perry, he was a star basketball player there. He graduated in 66, and he was there as your security. He was a lawman, and they had a security at schools like that then. Now they got them at all the schools, and I guarantee you weren't going to get away with anything if he was there, because he was proud of being a Viking. And they were so proud of being Vikings because they even had a hangout place right there on 8th Street, which is Martin Luther King. It's called the Viking Den. most people have forgotten about that. I think that we have lost a pride in our city because of, when I was coming up, although I was housed in West Palm Beach my last 6 years, 2 years at Palm View, which is UB Kinzie now, and then at Roosevelt High. But before that, it was Washington Junior High School. Now it's Washington Elementary School. It just happened to be on a different place. I think that the citizens need to go back and get involved with the children's activities, whether they are sports, whether they are in debates, spelling bees, all those things. And I think that the homecoming, the parades meant a lot to the citizens. See, that's what happened when you were bust so much and you don't go to your schools in your hometown. Because parents, when they hustle in from work and go to the football game or the basketball game, they want to see what's going on. That's a wonderful thing. But we need more people like you to tell the story and let parents know it's important to be in their child's life. My mother had 5 children, and she worked at the port. She scrubbed floors on her knees to help my father take care of 5 kids, and she never missed one of our PTOs or PTAs then. She was there. My father didn't go, but my mother was there. Now, if we got in any trouble with those teachers, my mother's going to be up on that campus talking to that teacher and going to punish us. She wasn't going to argue at those teachers. She's going to find out. Her boys, my sister would never get in any trouble because, you know, she was a baby of us. But she taught 37 years. I think that we need that. Now, that's where I learned from my teachers like Mr. McDonald and Coach Richard Brooks. That's why I went into recreation and physical ed and to deal with kids because they need a surrogate parent away from the parents and away from school. And what's better place is the recreation center, the recreation site. See, everybody have to play a part because we're all a part of a community. You have to give back. Now, what's the difference? And I know I'm putting you on the spot. You don't want to do it, but I asked you to do it because you're an expert at this. You told a story about the education and where you started from and what you all did. One of the key points you said, every day your whole family ate together. And that's a big thing. See, it may be a small thing. People look back and they're playing the games and say, Mama, I'll eat later on. And talking on the phone, video games, but you had to eat together. See, that's a staple right there. Now, what about the council in the last 10 years? The elected officials. What's the difference between them and when you and Ann Isles and Don Wilson and all those people like that, Bertha Owens and Bucky McGann and all those people? What's the difference? It's got to be a difference.
Well, you know what, Dan? Yes, there's a difference. And there's always a difference because of time and circumstances and issues. All of those things make a difference. And when you sit there, when you are on that dais and you have to deal with that information that comes before you, and you have to, when all is said and done, it boils down to 5 votes. That's it. And either that vote comes down to whatever number that forms the majority so that it will move forward. And you have to have that mindset as you sit there and realize that's exactly what you're going to be dealing with. Sometimes I think that realization is lost, and it becomes more of a, you know, I'm running for office, I'm sitting in this office, but I'm not my particular position is not being moved forward as accurately as it should be. I, as a member of this community, I believe I've been reminded lately, and this is something that I have to own up to. I've been reminded lately that I've been negligent in giving input. You know, I can't sit back. If I sit back and criticize, then really the onus is on me if I haven't done anything to help.
Mm-hmm.
I've been told that in two different areas. It's interesting that you're saying this to me because this is like true confession on your show today. Mm-hmm. I've been told, hey, if you're going to be talking about the things that children need to be doing in education, then you need to be stepping forward and helping out. So
Amen.
I'm going to step forward and help out. I have that responsibility as, because I have some information that needs to be shared. Hopefully it will be adhered to and given and taken in the spirit that is given. I also have a responsibility as it relates to some of the information with government to share that information, to do some things that will help to move things forward in a positive way. If I don't do it, I can't very well criticize. So those are the kinds of things. And I appreciate what you've done for me because what you've basically done is said, hey, put up or shut up. And I appreciate
Amen.
That from you. Thank you very much because that's exactly what I'm going to be moving to do in these next few weeks.
Well, the reason why I challenge everybody because of and it's going to be publicly known. I've already told you, and of course Ann knows I made a statement over the weekend. I'm retiring on January 8th from the Youth Recreation Association, which is 58 years. It's my health and the longevity I've had. I'm 83 going on 84, and I'll be 84 not too long from now. I think that somebody younger should be there, and I think that I've train the person to keep the baton moving. But I know that if you don't get involved, you really shouldn't even be criticizing and saying anything. See, you don't have to be an elected official, but you need to go out here and volunteer or give your wisdom or something. You can't sit in the house and look through the screen and think that you're going to make a difference. You got to get out there and hold the rope. If everybody hold the rope, you will never lose sight of each other. The great man, Martin Luther King, in Oslo, Norway, in 1964, when he was being the recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize, when they tried to encourage him and give him money to do everything else but not go back to the valley, he said he must go back to the valley. And he got to tell everybody, we must hew out the mountain of despair, a stone of hope. See, you give people hope. And hope is the only thing going to be able to connect us and keep holding the rope, hope. And what you said today and what you say that you're going to go and do, you're going to tell some more of your colleagues to do the same thing. Is that right?
That's right. And it's not about, there are going to be those front runners. That's okay. Those people who will be out front and you, and that's great to have that visibility. But there also has to be the persons that are in the background giving
mm-hmm.
that encouragement and giving that support. And that way, and I hear you doing that, and that's to be commended, that I'm doing this, but at the same time, I'm making sure my legacy moves forward. I don't want a ball to drop.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to make sure that that happens. I've been a little lax with that. I'm grateful to the Lord that I have an opportunity to make amends for that lag in my performance. So I just need to do better.
Okay. What about when you're down there giving away the food? Tell us a little about that.
Oh, that is, you know what? That is such a joy. It's interesting. First of all, if you want to deal with diversity, come and deal with persons who are on a food line, because it's all types of people, everyone. Because you have to stop and think about, if I can take one meal or two meals out of my budget, just think of what else I can do. So everyone that is in line for a meal is not necessarily freeloading. They are making sure their dollars go further. And if you think about a father, if you think about that in that frame of reference, that you're feeding hungry people and all of that, first of all, it makes you do what you want to do in a humanitarian frame of reference. And that's the way you should do it. Then the gratitude is the fact that people say thank you. You know, they say thank you. They want to engage in conversation. They want to talk to you about what's going on. It's like a village. It's a wonderful, wonderful feeling. And so, yeah, when I do it, the reason, even though I retired from St. George's formally, December 31, 2018, I'm still there, and I'm still there because of the people and the involvement and engagement that I have with the people, because it's invigorating. I enjoy it.
Well, that is so important, because I've been asked a million times, why do you still be out here after all these years? I need to do that more than the people need me to do something for them.
That's right.
It makes me feel good about myself, and I feel like God is blessing me more, that he kept me here long enough to be a conduit between different situations, that maybe I can say a nice thing, a cheer or something like that. I think that we be hung up on being argumentative and want to put people down when you shouldn't do that. You should bring laughter, smiles, and everything. I've been down there looking at that line, and what happened, like when they had the vaccine at the very beginning, that was the first place that you could go down and get the shots put up in the pandemic. And so many people depend on those bags of grocery or some hot plate or something like that. And that's what Jesus was doing. I don't think we need to rewrite the book. I just think we need to do what the book says and do it.
That's true.
With a smile on your face. See, some people go, when you're volunteering and you're in a place like that, some people go to jobs and they're all mad because they hate to be in that environment. But a lot of time when you volunteer, you're not going to be argumentative or hating to be there, because you can stay home if you want to. Now, Ann, what is your question that you want to ask our guests? Ann, are you here? Are just the two of us here, Cynthia?
It looks like it.
Well, Deja, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Don't pay any attention to that. Just go ahead. That's just a beep
on
my phone.
No, I'm talking about Deja. Deja, the young lady we got in college, and she's part of putting the program on up in Louisiana. So many things going on.
Yes,
Ann, can you hear me now? Okay.
Yes, can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah,
open my microphone.
Okay, then. You have the questions for our guests?
Yes. Basically, my question is, what can we do? We have a lot of people who are listening into the show, and they would like to know, what can they do? So do you have any ideas, thoughts, or suggestions that we can let our audience know what they can do? Maybe there's a phone number they can call, or a website they can go to, or, like you said, PTA meetings. Well, you know, I'm listening, and one of my classmates, Wanda Lucas Richardson, is also listening, and we just had a class reunion meeting. Actually, we have a class reunion meeting of the class of 1972, as all of you would remember, when our schools were merged, and we were divided up, actually, between Gardens and Suncoast and North Shore, and I think I'm missing one, Kennedy, of course. And so what I'd like to do is at least put it in the atmosphere of what we can do now. Our class, again, we're going to be celebrating our 50th reunion next year. And so we meet every Sunday right before this call, and we talk about what we can do to give back. And we're planning on giving 50 scholarships to 50 students. But as I'm sitting here listening, I think that there's more. And so, Wanda, we can take that back to the class in terms of talking about PTA meetings and giving, because right now most of us are grandparents, our children are now grown. So if there are any thoughts either one of you has that you'd like to share, some things we can do from the class of 1972.
Yes, I have a thought or two. I'm glad to know that you're having the meetings. There are a couple of issues that, in terms of some of the things that are happening in on the education realm, that I can give you some information about. And if you would just simply, in one of your meetings, maybe have some discussion about it and decide how you might want to participate or find out some more information. I tell you, one of the things that I've been looking into is there is a community center, Village Center Community Update coming on November 8th. What I can do is if I get the information from you, I can send you that information so that persons can start finding out. There is a lot of information coming out through the school district that's not necessarily getting to the community. And so we need to start linking the community with some of this information and making sure that the children are benefiting from it. But they're not going to do that if some of the parents don't get the information and therefore share, you know, say, okay, I know that this is happening. Let me make sure that you are engaged with this. There is information, and I do want to ask, and Dan, I'm glad I'm talking to you because you can help me to talk to the chief, to the city manager and the police chief about the school district is doing some things as it relates to safety in the schools. And I know that's something that we're all concerned about. But if the school police has this program, we want to make sure that Riviera Beach, you know, what's happening as it relates to the link with that. And so that our children and our communities can be just as safe. And then there's another area, Justice, Education, Diversity, Inclusion, a JEDI. And so just to find out a little bit more about that program, how it impacts the schools in our community, if it impacts the schools in our community. So there are three things that just want to share that. And if you're already meeting, you're already talking about it, see, I could get that information over to you, and you could take 2-3 minutes on your agenda just to do an update.
Can I interject something here, Cynthia?
Please.
You brought up the chief and the city manager. I'll be meeting with the city manager again next week. And, of course, you knew we had him at your church last
mm-hmm.
Sunday, and he did a wonderful job.
Yes, he did.
I think that's a great idea. What I'd like to do is tell you and who's the chair of your class of 72?
Percy Walker.
Red Walker.
Red Walker.
Why don't you tell Red? I've known him all his life, one of my favorite people. And I know when you and Deborah and him was working out and helping over at Goodmont Park, that soon as that opened back up again, we can do that. That's very important. Why don't we pick a couple of people from your class, and we sat with the city manager and bring Cynthia in here, and we have a round table discussion, because since I'm the one they appointed to put the program together for the 100 year, because that falls in some of the things that we need the council, the mayor, the city manager, and the police chief know what the citizenry need. In other words, the police department need to mingle more with the community, rather than be in the car, ride by them. You only talk to them when they finna arrest someone. No, they got to be a community relation officer, all of them. And then the city manager need to know that he may suggest that some of his department heads need to come and make a presentation from the police department, the fire department, or something like that, because we all supposed to be working together. I like that. All you have to do is tell me that when I call, we'll get with you, Cynthia, because you just asked. When the next time I get with him, I will set up a meeting, and I'll check with you with your schedule, meet that. And then, and if you can have Percy, Mr. Red Walker, or whoever, to be the liaison from the class of 72, if you want to bring two or three of them, it doesn't matter.
Okay, sure. Sure, and I actually I have Wanda's on the phone with me. So Wanda, I'm going to open your microphone if you can give them your email, Wanda.
Wanda. Wanda.
I'm hearing static. But say that again, please.
From the class of 72, because you all have been active in doing some things. Anyhow, I'm glad that you all going to get more involved in with the city.
Now
is it going?
Yeah, no, Wanda, this is I'm tall, Wanda. Just end that other time, Wanda.
You know strangers to love.
Wanda.
You know the rules and so
hello?
Do I.
Wanda.
I've still commitments, Wanda.
Is it? Well, anyway.
Yeah, yes.
Are you there, Wanda?
Well, I'm trying to talk to her off the line. She was on hold for me. So, Wanda,
okay.
If you can just end that other line, just because I disconnected. So just end that other line, Wanda. I'm going to open your microphone back up so you can share your email. Thank you.
Never gonna say goodbye. Never gonna tell a lie.
Not yet. Okay, so I'll have her. I'll get with her and
okay.
Get her email.
Cynthia. I will follow up on that because of you need to be in a meeting. See, because you were one of the people once upon a time was making decisions and policies for the future of Riviera, and we need that. See, I was going to do something like that anyhow. I just didn't know who the people that I had in my mind that we sat down. I wanted Doug Lawson, I wanted the mayor, and I wanted the city manager. To sit there and listen to the people. See, as long as the elected officials listen and interact with the people, you're going to get more done. And it'll be a better working relationship. So that's my final thing. So I'll stay in touch with you, Cynthia, and let you know about that, because I'll be working on that this week. And I'm finished. Is there anything else you need to say?
No, sir. This has been a great show. And Ms. Becton, I am going to get your email address so that we can get that information over to you so that you can email it over to Wanda, and then we'll make sure we get it to our class. And then I'll follow up with Percy Walker, Mr. Calloway, and have him reach out to you.
That'll be
wonderful. Wonderful.
That's wonderful. And as I leave, and I got another meeting to go to. And once again, I can't thank you enough. Once again, you have cleared the stage for us to feed 7,500. When I got the check the other day, I added 500 people who say, I don't like turkeys. She said, Mr. Calloway, you all been giving us fish. Is there any way you can give us fish instead of turkeys, and we'll cook our own meal? That's a done deal. I made a deal with my fishermen and to go out there and to get the mackerels and the snappers and everything, and I have my guys to prepare it, and that's what I'm going to do. And so you made the difference. I want everybody to know that. My boss lady made the difference. Once again, and I'm saying this from hundreds and hundreds of people, 7,500 is a lot of people to be feeding for Thanksgiving. And 3,000 of them is in the Glades. I'm not going to forget our sisters and brothers over in the Glades because we got more. Bell Glade, South Bay, and Pahokee. 1,000, each one of those towns going to be a part of that. Is that all right?
Yes.
Okay, then. Okay, I'm finished.
All right. Yes, we want to thank you, everybody. And I'm not comfortable calling you Cynthia, so I have to say Miss Spector. So thank you. Thank you so very, very much. This has been a phenomenal show again, and we want to thank everybody who's listening currently live and also in the future. You've been listening to another episode of Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach. My name is Ann McNeil and co-host Dan Calloway. We've been very excited and honored to have on the show today Cynthia Becton, former City of Riviera Beach councilwoman and retiree from the Palm Beach County School District from May 2000. And next week, Mr. Calloway, I'm not sure if you know who's going to be on the program next week.
The city manager say he's ready, so I got to make sure I check his schedule. It's going to be between him and the mayor, Ron Felder.
Okay, all right. Well, everybody, just listen.
And we also have... we've had Ann Owls and we've had Cynthia, but we got. I'm not through with our former politicians because they bring so much wisdom, and see they walked that road before, and so they can enlighten us where we need to go. And I like that because we are going to bring all the former elected officials back and get their opinion because that's part of our anniversary. So I got that going. Okay, then.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
And you have read them to call me. Bless you.
Yes, I will. Thanks. All right, everybody. Have a good evening. Thank you for listening to Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach. See you next week. Thanks. Bye-bye.